Welcome back to The Conversation. I'm your host, Gina Simeone. The Conversation is a podcast for and about women in business. We are going to be talking to successful women in the business world and how they're making a difference in their industry. The Conversation is sponsored by Single Throw Marketing, a Google Premier partnered digital marketing agency. If you're looking to stay one step ahead of your competitors, check us out at singlethrow.com. Search marketing is the largest, most effective digital marketing channel, and it is evolving faster than ever. To attract new customers, outperform competitors, and grow your business, you really need to keep up with all of the latest algorithm updates, platforms, trends, and technology. You need to constantly train with trusted experts who know what it takes to succeed and are excited to share. Today, we're talking to Amy Hebden. She's a Google Ads conversion expert and founder and managing director of Paid Search Magic. Since 2004, she's been managing Google Ads for clients ranging anywhere from small to Fortune 10 companies. She's had articles published in many publications, including Search Engine Journal and Search Engine Land, which if you're in the marketing world is a pretty big deal. And she just spoke at SMX Advanced, which is the largest conference for search marketing. So welcome, Amy. We're so excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you are in Tennessee?
I am. I moved here a few years ago, yeah.
Oh, nice. How do you like it?
I love it. I mostly have lived on the coast, and so it's a really nice, it's different, but it's really nice.
Wow. You know, I've always lived by a beach, I think, my whole life. There was always a beach within like an hour driving distance. So that must be a little bit of a change if you're used to the coast all the time.
It is, but it's a good change. I really was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know how I would like it, but it's wonderful.
Great. I love Tennessee. Nashville, especially.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You go there often?
I'm still dipping my toe back in, you know, post-pandemic whatever, since it's still actually going on. But yeah, we make it down there sometimes, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. It is. So thanks for joining the show. I told our listeners a little bit about who you are, but want you to, you know, tell us about you and Paid Search Magic.
Yeah, well, so I've been working in paid search since around 2004, so it's almost 20 years, and I started Paid Search Magic officially in the end of 2017, and it's a Google Premier partner agency where we do consulting, management, audits, training, just basically all things paid search to help people get better results through Google Ads.
Got it. That's pretty awesome. So what is paid search? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So if you're not familiar with paid search, you know, a lot of times people don't even realize the difference between paid and organic links. Basically, if you go to Google and you type in something into the search box and then you get results, sometimes some of those results are sponsored, and you'll see a little button or description that says add next to it. And then that's how you can tell. Otherwise, you might not be able to tell, because you're still just seeing blue links that you can click essentially to find solutions to your problems, find the products you're looking for, that sort of thing. Now, it does include a little bit more than just the blue links. It can include, you know, YouTube is obviously part of the Google network, and there's a lot of other shopping and other ways that you can be using ads. But it comes down to that same sort of response mechanism, where it's like you're looking for something, and then this is your way of getting in front of people who are looking for that thing.
Being in the marketing industry, it is a fine line that, you know, you're trying to get your customers to understand exactly what it is that you do and how you do it, especially on the back end, because, you know, and to allude to your title of your company, Paid Search Magic, people think that it's just magic. You just snap your fingers and boom, there you go. But there is a lot of work that goes into it on the back end to make sure that you're doing it correctly. So speaking of doing it correctly and being an expert in your field, so you've been published in Search Engine Journal and Search Engine Land.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to do that?
You know, a lot of times it's just pitching. It's just kind of saying, hey, I can write about something. You know, I have something worth saying here. In this case, I kind of had a connection with the editor. For getting into Search Engine Journal at the time was actually pretty rigorous. Like, there's like auditions and like sending samples and sending links to other sorts of things and filling out like a pretty rigorous questionnaire. And then in my particular case, the editor of Search Engine Journal went to Search Engine Land, so I just kind of followed him there as well.
Cool. Yeah. So now, did being published in these publications lead you to get invited to SMX. Tell me about SMX, what it is, and how you became a speaker there.
Sure. So SMX, like my journey, again, is probably not the norm. I had actually applied to speak on more than one occasion, and it just never quite made the list of pitches. But I had reached out to someone at some point who had a Twitter request for topics, and I had responded to that, and then I got added to, I'm actually on the advisory board at this point, and so I speak every now and then just as kind of as part of that, right? So I've spoken at SMX probably 4 times now, yeah.
Okay, so this year, so SMX is the Search Marketing Expo. So they usually do this conference in person, but for 2022, they did it virtually. So you are a guest speaker for this event, and a lot of marketers, pretty much all search marketers, tune into this. So it's a pretty big deal. You just aired last month. So tell me about, you know, what you talked about and what you did to prepare for it.
Yeah, so I spoke about Google Ads audiences and just kind of how the concept of audiences has evolved within Google Ads. I think the fact that SMX is online, is virtual this year, has actually been really fun because it means a lot more people have been able to attend. They're not charging any fees, whereas typically it's $1,500 or more a ticket. So it does provide a lot of ways for marketers to come learn. And the fact that they're doing that all this year means that there will be other events that people can attend too, most likely free of charge, which I think is just, it's a real gift to kind of keep that going. As for how I prepared for it, I think one of the challenges of speaking virtually is that you don't get that same level of audience response that you do, you know, if you're at a live event. So if you're going to a live event, you see other people speak and you can kind of get a feel for how they're interacting with the audience, how things are received. You can observe and kind of get more insights as far as that feedback loop. And that's pretty much missing when you're doing online events. So one thing that I did was I just reached out to the organizers and asked them to send me a couple of samples of online talks that have done well in the past so I can kind of better prepare and kind of model off of that. And so by reverse engineering it just a little bit, it was a little bit more work initially to watch other people's talks, but it did get me more insights. So maybe I wouldn't have included that or thought to do it this way, but that seems to have worked well. And then I can use that to kind of put my talk together. So that's what I did for this event.
Gotcha. Was this your first virtual event? Speaking.
No, but at this point, I just want to make sure that I'm hitting the right notes, you know, because there's so little feedback that we get that, yeah. I'm like, okay, I don't want to just keep doing what I've always done. I want to make sure I'm improving.
Yeah, absolutely. So you usually have done all of your speaking engagements in person, though.
I mean, there have been a lot, you know, since the past 2 years. It's like I've done three in person this year as of July. But the past 2 years, everything has pretty much been virtual. And there's a lot of virtual summits too. So it really depends.
Yeah, I feel like everything is kind of giving you the option, like virtual, in person.
Right,
and
right.
You kind of have to adapt to be able to do both. Do you find it that you're like, you know, ever nervous? Do you get fear of public speaking ever like that? Do you have any issues like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you step up onto a stage, it starts to feel like a performance and you can kind of get in your head and let nerves get in the way. It tends to be a lot more low-key if you're just speaking to your laptop, even if you right. have the same or way more people watching, it just doesn't feel quite the same. One tip that I got from someone I was actually working with on speaking was to make sure that you really know your ending. And that surprised me because, like, of course, why would you put all this effort into speaking and not have an ending? But he said you'd be surprised at how many speakers get up there, start talking about their topic, and then just kind of trail off and never really finish. And I was like, that's weird. But then I watched at a conference and it was a lot of people that just kind of ran out of things to say. And then they get to the last slide. Oh, I guess that was it. Thanks. And that was, you know, that's how they
ended.
And
that was it?
Yeah. So actually, like, coming prepared with an ending actually does seem to make a difference where I wouldn't even have thought that's something people leave off. Apparently it is.
Huh. Interesting. So there's, you know, a lot of, kids are, you know, they're doing public speaking classes now where they have to get up in front of their class and talk to their teacher. And there's certain things that they have to do. Like they have to, you know, put their hands a certain way. They have to make eye contact. They have to, you know, do this to try to get the jitters out. Do you have any like processes that you follow when you're, you know, kind of on stage talking in front of people?
That's a good question. I mean, as far as like public speaking rules, I mean, obviously trying to make eye contact with the audience, trying to, you know, stay in frame for the camera. One thing that I've found sometimes that people don't really review with you is miking you. So like sometimes they'll need to wear certain outfits and they'll let you know. And sometimes you need to wear certain outfits and they don't let you know. So like finding out ahead of time, like I've had to do wardrobe changes because like, oh, you can't actually have a sweater. Or you have to have like these kinds of pockets or whatever. It's like, oh, that would have been nice to know before I got here. But
wait, they have wardrobe rules. I never even knew this. Like for what, for the microphone so that you can put it in.
Yeah. If you have a mic pack, then you need to have a belt loop. And so there has to be, and since I had a dress on, then there had to be something, some way to hold that up. And that wasn't something that they communicated ahead of time. So, I mean, like I said, some events are super good at making sure you know the rules, and others just, they don't think about it. So,
yeah,
like you need to learn to think about it. I was at a conference, not speaking at it, but at a conference this past April, and someone, like they had a switch in the agenda basically, and she got up there and just said, I want you to know this is my speaking to you is a generosity, not a performance. And she just really approached it like, you know, the content I'm sharing with you is valuable, but I'm not up here to like really impress you with my, you know, speaking prowess or whatever. And I just thought, because I had just come off of a speaking event where I was really worried about like how is this going to come across, I really appreciated that and took it to heart. And that is something that's kind of stuck with me, is just this idea of it's a generosity, not a performance, and making sure that, you know, you're just communicating with people and teaching them things that matter, rather than again treating it like it is a performance, and then that your mannerisms are more important than the substance of it. So I really always appreciated that.
Got it. Yeah, like they're not getting tickets to a Broadway show, they're getting tickets to an educational
right
kind of thing. So with SMX, how many speakers usually do they have?
I don't know. I would guess around 40, but I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. So it's really like the event for search marketers.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. Nice. So tell me a little bit about how marketing solves problems.
One of the things that's interesting to me, and I'll answer this for paid search marketing rather than just marketing in general, right? We all have a bit of inertia. We all have reasons, you know, ways that our life could be better, and action that we're not taking. And so marketing generally can help you get over that, because it helps to paint a picture of, you know, the road taken and the road not taken, and how good your life could be if you follow this. Now, sometimes it's just garbage meant to sell something, and you have to have, you know, a good filter for that. But sometimes it really does help you see like, gosh, if I just put forth the effort of pushing through this inertia, there really is something better on, you know, that this journey will lead to, and it can help you make that decisions, because I want that outcome that I'm seeing in marketing, right? So for paid search marketing, I would say it's something similar to that. Like we're still like helping to, you know, future pace and help people understand like where things are going. But then also it's helping you find the route to get there. You know, it's hard to remember now because it's been so long, but like before we had the internet, like how do you find things out? Were you going to go to the library? You know, you're going to go to the local store that only has one option, and it may not be what you need. It might not have the features that you need, but having access to, you know, multiple options, and, you know, through paid search marketing, you can find solutions to your problems that actually solve your specific problems. You can continue to narrow your search until you find exactly what you're looking for. And that's honestly, it's a tool that didn't used to exist, you know, just a few decades ago, that really can change things for the better in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I know, where would we be without the internet, right?
Right.
And then kids these days, they don't know anything else, you know, whereas we had to go to the library and look up the encyclopedias and do those microfiche to try to get the answers to write our essays or whatever, right?
It's hard to remember what it, you know, even when you could look something up and you were just limited to whatever, I don't know, Netscape, you know, the one result that it is able to find, because it wasn't even a good match, you know, because the algorithms weren't very advanced. So like the fact that we can like have this expectation of whatever's in my head, I'm going to get a solution for it. Like it's incredible, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's amazing. Speaking of algorithms, so Google, you know, being the largest search engine machine on the planet, they change their algorithm constantly, don't they?
I believe that to be true. I don't work much directly with their SERP algorithms, but I always am hearing about the changes.
Oh, gotcha. So tell me why it's important for you to really fully understand how paid search works and why you need an expert to help you do it. Like, you can't just do it on your own unless you're highly educated. Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, the problem is you're giving someone your credit card. And, you know, there are lawsuits right now against Google because Google has essentially, let's just say, too much power. That's what's being claimed. And I tend to agree that Google's making decisions, you know, with how to spend your budget, where to spend your budget, like it manages everything. The level of transparency is definitely going down in most cases. And so if you give Google money, believing that Google is going to act in your best interest, and Google is not a fiduciary, you know, is not a fiduciary, is not responsible to act right in your best interest, there's a huge conflict of interest there. And what happens is that you lose money to things that bring, you know, help Google with its profitability for its shareholders, but it doesn't necessarily do a lot to help your business. So you have to understand what you're up against when you go into it, and like basically every single thing you need to do in order to keep your budget from being wasted, or else it will be wasted, because that's just easy money for Google. At the end of the day, they're not responsible for your results. You are. So like being educated and being familiar with how to use the program is really important.
Yeah, that I couldn't have said it better. Before we wrap up, I wanted to go back quickly. So we were talking about, you know, what to wear on stage. Do you have any suggestions or tips on, you know, certain colors or patterns or things of that nature that you find, you know, are more effective when you are speaking in person, or does it really not matter?
Well, I think there's a couple things to consider, and it actually has to go with your goals, you know, so, and sometimes, again, the organizer might tell you, you know, things to wear or to avoid. The first time I spoke at a large stage was actually 1,500 people, and I was so nervous, obviously, because it was my first
meeting. Yeah, it's a lot of people.
And so one of the decisions I had made was, you know, I often colored my hair pink, and I was like, I'm going to go in there with pink hair so that people will remember me, and so they can find me out of the crowd later if they want to talk to me about something. Because otherwise, like if I'm just blending in with 1,500 people, it'll be pretty hard to tell who it was that spoke to them 10 a.m. on Monday, you know, like by Wednesday night. So I made that choice, and I know of other people who have done something similar. They wanted some sort of way to stand out so that after they spoke, people, you know, they were more memorable. So that's an option. I mean, for me, I always wear comfortable footwear because it's not worth it to me to have like my legs shaking in heels. Like that's a level of discomfort I don't want to put on myself. So just wearing something that, you know, you can be comfortable walking around in. Also, I mean, there's wires and rugs and whatever is going on stage. You don't want to like be tripping or anything. So like stack the deck in your favor for, you know, being able to be comfortable and kind of owning your presence a little bit more than just being like, well, I thought this looked cool, but it's like super uncomfortable and I feel awkward. So I that's my recommendation. But, you know, I know some people that's not their preference. So whatever you want to do, I'm sure it'll be fine.
But yeah, I'm all for comfort as well. But, you know, heels do look good, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Any advice to young women, you know, with speaking engagements or, you know, just being comfortable speaking in front of people?
Especially in the tech industry, you know, I would say post Me Too movement, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but there are a lot of opportunities that are opening up, like as councils and committees are kind of taking a look at themselves and saying, hey, you know what, we're only booking men, we need to change that. That there are more opportunities, especially for people who are newer to kind of come in and say, hey, I have something to say, and you're more likely to get listened to than maybe, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago, where there's like, where that wasn't as much of a consideration or a factor. So if there is just a concern of like just getting started, it's a great time to get started.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed our chat and learning all about, you know, some nuances with public speaking and paid search marketing. Best of luck to you and your husband with Paid Search Magic. And we will be looking for more articles from you on Search Engine Land and Search Engine Journal.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is sponsored by Single Throw Marketing, a Google Premier Partner digital agency. If you're looking to stay ahead of your competitors, check us out at singlethrow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Conversation. Listen to us everywhere podcasts are found every other Wednesday.